The following is a Dog on a Hill production in association with Dimitri Old Media. Season 1, Episode 5, Tainted Heart, Heal with Time. Welcome to Episode 5 of the Magpies and the Phoenix podcast. It's a bit quick fire now after the Tuesday episode, but there's been a lot happening since then. So on today's show, I'm going to go through Tuesday night's game at the Arctic Stadium, where Cray Valley Paper Mills met East Grinstead Town in the Isthmian League South Eastern Division. Then I'll go down to Devon, also for Tuesday night's fixture, which I couldn't make, obviously, for Holsworthy's away win at Elburton Villa and a couple of unexpected defeats in the South West Peninsula League. The report we'll back from that will be from Ryan, who's sent me quite a long WhatsApp message today, which I'll read out for your delectation. Then we'll go to the scaffold for Wednesday night's huge fixture between Phoenix and Glebe, or a night that will live long in my memory. It was a terrific game and a terrific finish. If you've seen my blog, you'll have read the post. But I'll go through some of the stuff that goes with that. Maybe a bit more about the emotions of it, because it's quite important things to sort of recollect. I'll then do a sort of results roundup. I'm sort of very mindful that in the previous podcast I've been a bit too much results and not enough sort of talking about what I'm doing in the football and so on and so forth. But I'll look at some of the results that sort of caught my eye in the week. But maybe that's a part of the podcast that I'll probably rein back a little bit going forward and maybe concentrate on one or two leagues at a time. I can't keep going on Isthmian Premier, Southern League and Wessex League and so on. But maybe just look at one of those each week. But for the purposes of this podcast, we really are concentrating on the scaffold of South West Peninsula and the Isthmian South East. There's a Millwall misery memory regarding a late equaliser. You know the relevance of that if you've read my blog post. And this is a memory that has affected my football lifetime, to be brutally honest, just since it happened. So, yep, we'll talk through that one. And finally, we'll look forward to the FA Cup preliminary round fixtures this weekend and the clubs in which I've got a soft spot are interested in and even a bit more than interested in, including the game I'll be going to on Saturday between Tunbridge Wells and Phoenix. So there's a huge amount to get through, and so let's get cracking. So Tuesday night took me down to the Arctic Stadium. I think they call it Eltham. Probably Eltham's about the nearest location I'd call it from. It's between Eltham, Kidbrook, Nottingham and around that way. Probably the most local ground to me, given that I now found out FC Elmstead don't actually play in Elmstead Park, but never mind, or the park behind Chislehurst. Anyway, waffling away here, this was an Isthmian South East fixture between Cray Valley Paper Mills, the home side, and East Grinstead Town, or known as the Wasps. I saw East Grinstead twice last year. I think I said this in the previous podcast. At home and away, or away and at home actually, whichever way you want to put it around. Against Phoenix, they beat us twice last year. The second game, the one down at East Grinstead, probably the one that, in one way, probably sent Phoenix down. It was a game they probably could not afford to lose. But anyway, East Grinstead started this season with a win, and Cray Valley started this season with a fairly heavy defeat at Ramsgate. So it'd be interesting to see how the game panned out, given that the main man last year, the main goal scorer for Cray Valley, Marcel Barrington, moved on to Herne Bay, and a number of their players have also moved. But two of the constants there still are Denzel Gale and Anthony Edgar, players who scored for Cray Valley when I went to see them last year. So a number of new signings, an interesting game to watch. And especially good in the first half, because Cray Valley, in my humble opinion, was sensational in that first half. They popped the ball about, played some wonderful football, created many chances, hit the woodwork, I think three times, forced some good saves out of the visiting goalkeeper, but just could not score. And every football fan has been there. Your team dominates, you worry about it, you can keep getting concerned about it, and you expect the worst. There was one particular shot, I think, by Anthony Edgar from about 25 yards that absolutely smashed the crossbar. But they went into half-time 0-0, despite that flowing football, despite the snappy passing, and despite the scintillating display, as Richard, the media man and tannoy announcer at the Arctic Stadium, referred it to in his report. Anyway, so at half-time, could have felt quite good if you Cray Valley the way you play, but East Grinstead hung in there. And East Grinstead came out in the second half and actually started the better for the first five or six minutes of that second half. They put pressure on the goal that Craig Halley were defending. But as football also goes, you never always score when you're on top. And sometimes you concede. And from a breakaway, Denzel Gale took the ball into the penalty area, put the ball past the keeper into the bottom corner to put Craig Halley one up on about 51 minutes. And that was the only goal of the game. There wasn't a huge amount afterwards. The only thing that probably was very concerning for Craig Halley, and I got an update yesterday from Richard, was the injury to Anthony Edgar, who in a clash not far from where we were standing, clearly came off worse with a knee problem, limped off with ice around his knee. I understand it's not as serious as it looked. I thought it looked pretty serious, but they're saying 4 weeks minimum for him to be out, which is a shame because he was a real nuisance, a really good performance from him, certainly in that first half. Denzel Gale is also, you know, a really good player at this level. Enjoyed watching them. Especially enjoyed watching one of their new signings, Barney Williams, down the left-hand side on the first half. Thought he was pretty good, as was the new striker at Fulham, Adam Coombs. But as you know, I've said before with Craig Halley that I fear for them this year because of the upheaval in their team, which is apparently, for somebody who's not watched non-league football that long, is pretty normal, to be honest. But good win. Good win. They needed that, 3 points, and they'll settle down. They go to Glebe on Saturday in the FA Cup, and more on Glebe in a minute. From a personal level, always really good to see Richard and JG, the media people down there. Always welcoming. Great to watch them at work. Always interesting to chat about the local non-league scene, the players, the bit of gossip as well. And also because JG and Richard are both Crystal Palace fans, when I first walked into the Craig Halley ground last year, the first tune that was on was Glad All Over. I nearly walked straight back out. He then played Rocking All Over the World, which was probably a bit of a pullback. And as I always said last year, I just got blown away when they played Rendezvous 2 by Jean-Michel Jarre as the walking out music. This year it's Into the Valley, which is a bit depressing. You know, not really into that one. But really good to see them. And as I said to them on the day, this might have been the last time I'll be down Craig Halley Paper Mills for quite a time. And then they said, well, what about next Saturday? Saturday week against Whitehawk. And, of course, Phoenix play on a Sunday next week, so I may be able to get down there. Also, if there's a replay in the Cup with Glebe, then I can obviously go to that as well. So, yeah, really good, really enjoyable night. Always enjoy my time down at the Arctic Stadium with Craig Halley. Really good bunch of people, and yeah, very, very enjoyable night. So as I say, hope to be back on Saturday week. Next, we go down to Devon, and according to some of the people who listen to my podcast, this is a bit they skip, but it's important to me because Holsworthy are every bit as important as Phoenix to me in this podcasting world, and also for getting me into non-league football. So no apologies for keeping up to date with the Magpies down in Devon. They are at least half of the title of this podcast. Anyway, they played Elburton Villa away on Tuesday night. Last season when they went there, they won 3-0, according to Wikipedia, as you always know. A massively accurate final database that you can totally and utterly rely on. But yeah, apparently they won 3-0 there last year. I don't actually remember that victory. But anyway, that might well have been before I was really into Holsworthy. And this week they went down there again and they came out with a 3-1 victory. And the game itself doesn't sound that boring. I never quite get the info conveyed from down in Devon for the games. It's step 6, so it's not followed quite as assiduously as the scaffold at 5 or even, you know, the Isthmians and so on and so forth, which you get through football web pages. But you know, even the Southern League on that is really hard to keep up to date with. But for this one, it seemed as though someone was on the Twitter feed, probably Ryan, and the date updates came reasonably thick and fast, but I didn't quite get a feel for quite what happened in the game, which I'm not sure you will do over Twitter. But when I read out Ryan's WhatsApp messages to me, you'll get a feeling that it wasn't a necessarily dull game. Anyway, so let's quote Ryan, and just to say what I'm going to try and do in the future, the next thing I'm looking for to develop on the podcast is get the interview function working. I'll do a test run on it, and then Ryan will be my first guest on it, and I really try and focus on those things, on not necessarily updates on the football side just as yet, but actually to get more of an insight into what it means to be a step 6 football manager, how you do it, what sort of challenges you face and so on and so forth, which I'm really interested in, to be honest. Anyway, let's get back to the game. And so, to read Ryan's WhatsApps, I'll try and do it with the justice I can. As he said of the game, we started the game really brightly, and for large parts of the first half, absolutely controlled the game, with them only really having one chance of note towards the end of the half. We had numerous efforts blocked, a shot from Jed Peschke. I'm never sure how you say Jed's surname. Please let me know, Jed. From 30 yards, whistling just over. Stuart Williams went inches wide, and the keeper made a couple of fantastic saves. We took the lead around 20 minutes through Chim, a ball from Mark Horn into the left-hand channel. I like Mark Horn. I thought he was a really good player last year. And Chim shrugged off the defender and chipped the ball with the outside of his foot to beat the on-rushing keeper. Well done, Chim. First goal in league football for the man who probably is replacing Morgan Reynolds. Anyway, Ryan said, I warned them at half-time that they would get back into this game, Elburton, or have a spell, which then led our lads to start the second half extremely slowly with them being in control. Good of him to admit his managerial talk did work. Anyway, never mind. And they equalised after 10 minutes of the second half, crossing from the right and being met at the far post. From there, they tried to turn the game into a dogfight and slow down our play to stop us playing. And from their corner, we broke through Stuart Lamont, who hit a cross-come shot to the back post, which was put into his own net by the defender rushing back. So 2-1 to Holsworthy. And then it seems to go mad. From there, says Ryan, Elburton lost their heads. There was a horrendous tackle for their first red card, which was one red card and more than I thought was in the game. They then had a sin bin. That's down in the South West Peninsula League. They've got it in the scaffold. Yeah, I haven't seen it used. And on 80 minutes, they had another red card. So for a period, they were down to eight players. We scored a third on 90 minutes through Kieran Langman after a scrap from a corner. And then we managed the game and didn't rise to their taxes of trying to get us booked and sent off and lead to themselves losing their heads. There were six yellows in the end of the game and two reds for them, one sin bin, and we had two yellows. But a great result, a good win, and now they move on to... Oh no, they don't play on Saturday, do they? Play next Wednesday. Can't remember who's again. Oh, Colompton, they're playing next Wednesday, Colompton. So anyway, good result for the boys down in Holsworthy. Notable week as well because... Axminster are unbeaten this year, but the top of the table now is Ivybridge, who... won their fourth game on the spin this week. And I do believe they beat Brixham last night. I've not written this down in my notes. So it's a bit bad of me. But they beat Brixham. And the other favourites for the title this year, I think, Oakhampton, they also went down this week at Newton Abbott Spurs. So it's now only, I think, two teams are unbeaten, 100% in the league. And that's Ivybridge with 12 and Axminster with 9. But so, great win for Holsworthy. 6 points out of 12 so far. Three games on the road. Two away wins against teams that are probably in their area in the league. So that's really great. And congratulations to the boys. And I hope they have enjoyed their weekend off and will be fresh for next Wednesday's game. They also just had the draw for the Devon Cup, the St. Jude's Bowl, I think it is. And they play Plymouth Marjon at home towards the end of September. Plymouth being the other team that Holsworthy have beaten this year. So well done, lads. Really pleased for you. And good luck next week. Okay, before I go into last night's scaffold game between Phoenix Sports and Glebe, I have to stop and remember that for a minute. My regular slot, which I'm going to do now, Millwall Misery Memories. Most people, when they do these memory slots on podcasts or whatever, always do like the really good things, but that's not me. I like being miserable. And given this week has been midweek of mad comebacks and equalisers, and not giving too much of the plot away for yesterday's game at Phoenix. Millwall, of course, on Tuesday night came back from 2-0 down in injury time against Swansea with two own goals. You know, posing the question that how can you score two goals and have one shot on target in the whole game? I went back to a late equaliser against us. Not in the FA Cup. I've done most of my memory so far in the FA Cup. Or the home opener with Rotherham for the last podcast. This one I'm going back to 12th of March 1988, and that was the season that Millwall got promoted from the then Division 2 to the top flight of English football for the first time in their history. But on the 12th of March, we were actually probably about 6th, I think, in the table. We certainly weren't, you know, in the top two. We didn't get there until middle of April, if I recall correctly. And there was a big game against Crystal Palace. Lowercase c, lowercase p. Anyway,
I'd come back to Millwall in 1985. I'd stopped going because my cousin didn't take me. so I ended up going to Charlton with a school friend. And I'd come back. And actually the first game back was a cup tie in 1985 against Palace when we beat them in a replay, having drawn 1-1 with a very late equaliser by Dean Neal, the human police siren. But this game felt big. It felt really big. And at that point, we really had a bad record against Palace. We never seemed to beat them that game in 1985. Aside, we didn't play them that often, to be honest. Anyway, this game really felt big. And I remember coming back down from uni, because I was at Liverpool, and coming back down for this game. This was always one I was coming home for. And it was one of those tight games, because Crystal Palace were also up there looking for a playoff place or promotion in that season. And it was a really tight game, and the deadlock was broken in 54 minutes by Teddy Sheringham, you know, that job ordinary footballer that we used to have those days. And I do remember vividly, near the end of the game, Kevin O'Callaghan wasting time by doing up his shoelace in the corner, and my cousin shouting him, "He's only going to add that time on. He's only going to add that time on." The referee is Martin Bodner, who now I think is a cricket umpire. But yeah, he was a referee at that, and sure enough, he added the time on. We're hanging on for grim death. Not really many chances, but it's like, well, then we want to see that game out. You need it. It's a really big 3 points, massive 3 points. Anyway, we're deep into it, added on time, injury time, whatever you want to call it, and Crystal Palace win a corner. It's on our side of the field, the halfway line side of the field, not the main stand, jokeable man's main stand at the Old Den. Anyway, the ball comes over, and it's one of those, it's in slow motion. It comes over, it goes into the box, it's not seen to be cleared, and it's bundled in over the line off of Jim Cannon's never regions, or backside, or it sort of grows in the telling, whichever part of the anatomy that one went off. To put it mildly, I was sick. Absolutely sick. They, of course, were jubilant. I never liked them, Palace, before they came in. I absolutely hated them after it. And that game to this day has tainted my memory of that club as much as any game could possibly do it. They stole, at that point, I genuinely felt they'd stolen our dreams, because we felt that was, we're going to struggle now. Well, as they say, though, the rest is history. Millwall went on that amazing run towards the end of the season. Won, I think, six or seven games on the bounce, clinched the title at Hull on the May Day bank holiday, went into the last game of the season needing nothing, whereas Palace needed us to win against Blackburn to deny Blackburn a playoff place, and of course the rest of that is history. We lost 4-1 at home, so every bad tale has a really good ending. Of course, Palace came up the following year, and we met them in the top division in a game that also finished with a heartbreak late goal, but we won't talk about that for this podcast. That's very much for the next. So this is today's Millwall's misery memories. Since that day, not been many miserable memories against that lot. Got to be said, not been that many. Not counting last year's FA Cup. I just not erased from my memory. So that's been this week's Millwall misery memory. Okay, this bit is completely unscripted. I've not written anything down for this. You can read the match report on it on my blogs, on my website, my blog, sorry, 7 and 7/8 2, open bracket, it's my hat size, close bracket. And last night, it was the big one for me. It was Glebe's visit to Phoenix Sports. Big game, two of the fancied teams in the league this year. And having seen and heard from Glebe last year when they were in the scaffold, felt that this was going to be quite an important game this early in the season. As I said in the preview to it, we had 4 points. Glebe had 3. Deal already on 9, looking really dangerous. Rust Hall went on 9 after last night with an excellent win against Punjab. So there are teams above. Erith and Belvedere didn't play this week. Stansfeld lost their 100% record. And the other 100% record, which I can't remember off the top of my head, they never played either. Who was it? Oh dear, oh dear. Rain's killing me. Anyway, Whitstable Town. No, they didn't play either. So it was a big game. And as I got through the gate yesterday, I was handed the team sheet. And it's very noticeable straight off that the star man for Glebe was not playing, Jamie Philpott, who got over 50 goals, I think, last year for Glebe. He apparently picked up a knock, and if he's not being rested for the FA Cup, he wasn't quite ready for this game. The feeling I had, as I said, this was a game that, you know, obviously can't lose at this stage of the season. You can't let Glebe get any sort of a run on you, but another one where, after the disappointing performance at Wellington at the weekend, we needed to bounce back. Phoenix needed to really give it a good old go and put in a performance and, you know, get a result. God, they were awful cliches. So one of the big disappointments last night, when I went to the ground last year, I stand around the halfway line on the far side from the manager's dugouts, and there's two fellas that I usually saw last year, certainly on the Saturdays, and a really great company. Unfortunately, I went there last night. I was a bit disappointed. I hope they are there for the first Saturday game, which I think is on the 3rd against K Sports, 3rd of September. So that was a bit of a disappointment. I had to go past the Evans clan on the way to the where I stood. And it was a very tense first 20 minutes. So I didn't make many notes in my notebook. But you just felt that Phoenix just slightly had the upper hand, but you could never, ever count Glebe out. There are a number of good chances in the first half for Phoenix, and there's one fantastic save by the goalkeeper who turned a Ryan Hayes shot onto the post, which was arcing into the bottom corner. There was a great chance at the back stick for new signing Marcus Elliott, who just couldn't quite get it home. Malvi Evans missed a really decent chance as well. But just as it looked like we were going in at half-time 0-0 with our old goalkeeper, Stevie Phillips, back behind the defence, or between the sticks, I was wishing on a cliche to pick out on that one. Just on half time, shot came in from John Pilbeam, who I remember from Seven Oaks last year, and you can read why on the blog. Stevie parried it out, it went straight to James Holland, I think. Certainly Holland was his surname. I'm looking for the team sheet around me, this is how well prepared I am for this. And he slotted it in to put them 1-0 up at half time, and Glebe going in at 1-0 felt a bit of a travesty, but that's football. You can't, if you're not scoring, if you don't score, you're always vulnerable to that either little slip up or that chance that goes in. So Glebe went in 1-0, really delighted with it, and they had to be. So I did what I did at Erith, which was I switched seats. Well, not seats on this case, switched where I stood. And I went and stood behind the goal. The goal was just to the left of me. Big respect to Calvin and Perez for the entertainment they provided with the kids on the penalty shootouts. Real credit to the club that. I just wanted to say it on the podcast as well as on the blog. I thought they were fantastic, and that's the sort of thing I think that gets kids really into it. So, it's a well done, lads. Anyway, coming out for the second half, and yeah, we got a goal pretty much straight away. 5 minutes in, ball down the right. Henry Douglas did a really good run down the right, putting a good cross, giving Marcus the benefit of the doubt. He flicked it on rather than he was going for goal, but Marcus Elliott flicked it on, and at the back stick, Alfie Evans nodded it home, and we were level, and there was much rejoicing. But then the game, it sort of expected Phoenix to try and dominate again and assert themselves, but they just didn't. And Glebe just held firm, and it was a bit of a stalemate. There wasn't a huge amount of chances going on. And the game seemed just to be sort of not petering out, but I think they were both almost content with where we were. I don't know. You can't really tell. There was a lot at stake. It felt like there was a lot at stake. But 5 minutes from the end, maybe a little bit more than 5 minutes from the end, a fantastic goal by the Glebe sub, Stephen Cox. It was right at the other end of the ground, so I didn't see huge amounts of it, but I see him absolutely skim one of our defenders and then smash it into the corner. And you got to tip your hat to that. It was a fantastic goal. And worthy of winning it, really, even if Glebe probably didn't deserve it. We just missed a really great chance just before that goal where Marcus Elliott did the right thing and tried to square it to Alfie Evans, but Alfie couldn't quite get the ball out properly from under his feet and put it into the net when the goal was almost gaping. That was and Mark and Billy and the guys next to us, there's glum faces, and yeah, I was probably glum as well. My brother was there just taking this all in and
wondering what on earth it was his brother was getting into. And the referee then only added 2 minutes on to the end of the game, and that was like, whoa. That's the comment I made was, it maybe he lived a long way away and wanted to get home, because the time wasting and whatever, the couple of knocks on it was, anyway, it was 2 minutes, so you know, didn't really think we had much of a shout. But there's this thing, we forced the corner. Now, I read a book, believe it or not, I do read books, I think it's called The Numbers Game. And it's, I stopped reading it because I thought it was garbage. I'm not into this analytical, statistical nonsense, as you probably well know. And one of the things it goes on in that book is that in England, it's the only country that cheers when you get a corner. And overseas and analytics and all this don't understand this, because why do you cheer getting a corner? It very rarely leads to a goal. Now, he obviously never watched Millwall in the late 90s when we had the late Tim Carter in goal, because every corner was an adventure. And last night, I think we sat a little bit too deep from corners, and I felt every corner's an adventure. That may just be for me, that I'm a nervous wreck when I watch football. But yeah, that's how these guys made money out of a book. They told me one part that corners aren't that important. Load of nonsense. Absolute load of nonsense. Anyway, this corner comes in. Ryan Hayes goes over to take it. We know this is the last one. We know this is the last kick of the game or whatever it is. He sings over the corner. I just watched West Ham actually right before I was doing this, and I saw Funal take two corners where he didn't clear the first man. Nothing annoys me, well, lots annoys me in football, but not a lot more annoys me in football than professional footballers, the highest level, not being able to clear the first man. Ryan more than cleared the first man. As he saw the ball come off his foot, he knew this was a really good corner. And at the back stick, Joe Denny up with a Glebe defender. Next thing we know, ball's flying into the top corner and bedlam. And I've got to admit, I acted like a child. And I was in that pylon. That for me was just why I love non-league football. I just come back here and it was just amazing to do it. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Joe. That is the sort of moment that I will cherish and I love non-league football for. And it is exactly what I got back into the game for. Back into following football. It's less than a year since I first went to a non-league game, and it's got me. As I said in the title of this, Tainted Hearts Heal With Time, all right, which is also a reference, I think, to a karaoke or song that was done on the coach by one of our players. He knows who he is. I said it to him on his way out of the game on Wednesday. Anyway, great okay, great draw. Can't say anything else. It was a really enjoyable game, really tense game. You felt it meant something. And it's good to see Steve afterwards. I said to him, how's the heart? He just went, which I think just about sums it up. I would seriously know how that guy's still got a voice after a game. I have no clue. I had no voice this morning. So anyway, it was a 2-2 draw. As I said, Rust Hall won last night. Stansfield lost their 100% record. I've noticed that Erith Town won this week. It might have been against Stansfield, actually. No games this week, obviously, because there is the FA Cup. So let's just leave it there. I know, because I'm whittling on, and I've already said I'm 28 minutes and I've still got to do some results and the FA Cup. In fact, I might leave the results out and just go straight to the FA Cup, and we can talk about results maybe in a podcast next week. Okay, the final slot for today, as I said, I'm going to miss out on the results, is looking forward to this weekend's FA Cup preliminary round ties. And so let's just quickly go through the five teams that I am following through into this next round. I think there's only five. So let's go to the Cray Valley Paper Mills, who go away to Glebe on Saturday. Richard was down at Phoenix last night. I forgot to mention that. I was talking quite in depth. He said he was surprised that he didn't think there was anyone from Cray Valley to watch them. I think Cray Valley, if they play up to what they did on Tuesday, will probably have the better of Glebe. But it's going to be an interesting cup tie. And I wouldn't want to put money on it. Let's put it that way. If it's a draw, then given there seems to be a paucity of midweek fixtures for me to go to next week, that might be a possibility. So, yeah, good luck to Cray Valley, and I hope they see off Glebe. People might think I've got something against Glebe, as you probably know, if you read the blog. They built over where I made my highest individual cricket score, so I'm a little bit bitter about that. Anyway, down in the southwest, I didn't mention Biddeford, who drew 0-0 this week against Bristol Manor Farm away, so half-decent result there. Anyway, Biddeford go to Poulton Rovers in the FA Cup. This is a fixture that means a lot to me because this, the reverse fixture, Biddeford versus Poulton, was my first ever non-league fixture last year in October, where my dog Teddy came along. There's some really good pictures of him there.
That game, Portland won 2-0. I remember Adam Seedhouse Evans made his debut for Biddeford in that game. Was fantastic, but was beaten by a penalty and a reasonably late goal. Portland won that one 2-0, but Biddeford a slightly different team to that now, and let's hope they do well on the road, having seen off Bridgewater in the extra preliminary round. Under the soft spots, Sutton Athletic have a really interesting looking tie, a really good looking tie against Ashford. Ashford are going to be one of the challenges, I think, this year in the Isthmian South East, and this is going to be a real big test for Sutton, who've had a very decent start to the season. So good luck to Sutton Athletic, and good luck to Arley, see if he can get some goals there against Ashford. But I think, you know, on paper, you've got to fancy the visitors in that one. But, you know, say good luck to Sutton. Down in the West Country, Andover New Street are going to play away at Westbury. Got to say, doing the old cop out here, don't know too much about Westbury. Andover New Street have had a win and a draw in their two league fixtures, as well as their cup win at Warminster. So good luck to the boys down there, and looking forward hopefully to seeing them in the next 2 months. Hopefully with the move still, everything going okay with the move, waiting for something to go wrong. I'll leave the best to last. The other games that have interested me in the FA Cup draw, Rust Hall, who have got off to an absolute flyer in the scaffold, 5-2 winners again this week, are playing Ramsgate, who had a very, very good win against Cray Valley last week. So be interesting, I use that interesting word a lot, to see how they get on in that cup tie. Deal, who are also having a really good start to the season in scaffold, they go to Three Bridges in the Isthmian South East. That looks like a good tie for Deal. Three Bridges up and down in that division, going to be a tough test for Three Bridges to play an informed Deal side who've got off to a good start in the scaffold. Down in the West Country, Brixham, the representatives of the South West Peninsula League East in the FA Cup, go to Shepton Mallet. Brixham knocked out the team, I think, two divisions above them in Tavistock in the previous round. Then they've got to go on the road again, a fair old way. Good luck to them. They, obviously, on the back of that defeat to Ivybridge this week, they are the favourites, I think, in the South West Peninsula League East. So, as I say, good luck to them. And finally, the game I'm going to, down in Tunbridge Wells, where Phoenix are away to Tunbridge Wells. They lost this week, Tunbridge Wells 2-1 at Holmesdale. That's going to be a tough tie. I think Phoenix, as I've said many times, have to work hard to win every game they play in. I don't think this will be any exception. I think it will be a tough tie. Tunbridge Wells, of course, winning away at Chipstead in the previous round. So that's going to be a really decent weekend of FA Cup football. Really looking forward to it. Hope my brother will come down with me, be down there with the Phoenix Massive, and hopefully an enjoyable time. I really enjoyed my time at Oxy Jets previously, so let's see how this one goes. Just a little bit also down for the South West Peninsula League, Holsworthy have the week off. They're playing, say, next Wednesday against Colompton. A couple of really interesting games down there, though, if you're interested in the South West Peninsula League like I am. Oakhampton are at home to current unbeaten 100% record team Ivybridge, and Axminster, also 100%, are at home to the conquerors of Oakhampton in the midweek, the Newton Abbott Spurs. So those are the games this weekend that I will be reporting on a podcast next week. No fixtures currently planned for the midweek. Negotiations ongoing for fixtures to go to the following weekend, which of course is the bank holiday, where Phoenix are in the FA Vars away at Canterbury, which is played at Sittingbourne. But that's on the Sunday, so there's some plenty of opportunity to look for a game to go to on the Saturday. So that's the roundup of the FA Cup, and it just leaves me to say, this is the end of the fifth edition of the podcast, and it is, looking at the recording time, again, the longest I've done. I'd like, as always, to thank everyone at Phoenix for being such great hosts to me and my brother. We're invited into the boardroom on Wednesday. The boardroom, of course, the hut behind the bar. But just real generous host, and thanks to everybody there, and thoughts to Dave. And he knows why I am saying that. It was a really fun, entertaining evening with the guys behind the goal, and just, again, marvellous to be at non-league football. And again, I'd also like to thank Richard and JG and all at Cray Valley, who are, you know, I think it's a really good club. Really enjoyed being there. and just marvel at the way those guys work. And they called me the Vidi printer at one point because I kept rattling scores off all the time. But to see JG's face when the second home goal went in for Millwall, I think that made my night. Really good people, just as I say, enjoy it. And thanks very much for being great hosts. And not forgetting, I mentioned it on Tuesday's podcast, Greenways, who supplied me with the team list and have been really generous with their time on social media with me. And yeah, really enjoyed my time down there on Monday. Really hope to get back. Lots of reallys in this, I know, but that was a very, very decent Monday evening. So thanks for all of that. So that just leaves you to say, enjoy your game, whichever one you go to this weekend. I'll say we'll be at Tunbridge Wells for the FA Cup. And the old saying goes, and I finish it with pretty much all the podcasts, if you love non-league football, it loves you back. And this week, when Joe Denny put that ball into the back of the net in the 92nd minute of the game against Glebe, it loved me back, all right. It was just a fantastic moment. Thanks to Joe. Thanks to Phoenix. Thanks to everybody. And I will speak to you all next week. Cheerio. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please let me know if you didn't. Please let me know what improvements you think you should make. And, yep. This is it for episode 5. Tainted Hearts, Here With Time, if you don't know where that came from, is the song Killer by Adamski featuring Seal, although Seal seems to have taken this on the internet. Anyway, let's not whip on about that. You dangerously nearly got an REO Speedwagon lyric, but I sort of thought better of it. That's really, they are rubbish. Look, that's enough nonsense. Have a good weekend, and I hope you enjoy this podcast. Cheerio.